This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA for the latest from the markets across the world. Nick, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good to be back with you and a very busy week.
Absolutely. This is ahead of Thanksgiving, and I know you're off to take a short break, a much deserved break over the next few days. So happy Thanksgiving to you and anybody else who's listening.
Yes, thank you very much.
Now, the big story, let me start from this side of the pond over here today, was the much awaited budget, the autumn budget from the British Chancellor of the Exchequer. Much of the detail we actually expected, either because it had been leaked over the last few weeks, and it does seem like a lifetime ago we started talking about this budget, and indeed it is much later than is usual. But then we had the unprecedented happening earlier on today before she got to her feet at 12:30, a good hour or so before that. Much of the detail, even the sort of minutiae of the budget, was leaked accidentally as they released the information from the Office for Budget Responsibility, which always gives the budget the once over ahead of the Chancellor and assesses it. And it was a bit of a disaster, really, because anything that she was about to say, we already knew. Nonetheless, she said it. And what is the market verdict? Well, pound is up today. It's taken the markets a while to decide whether they like the budget or not. The response now seems fairly positive. The pound went up and government borrowing costs went down when the OBR's document appeared online early by mistake. Both signs that the budget was going down well. Then ahead of the budget at midday, it went into reverse. But as traders digested their lunches and the full details of the Chancellor's speech emerged, sentiment began to improve a bit. So as of a few minutes ago, the effective interest rate on the benchmark government bond was down 0.05 percentage points from the moment the OBR document first emerged, indicating some increased faith in the state of the UK's public finances. And the pound is around about half a cent up against the dollar. So I think the Chancellor and the Prime Minister will be quite pleased with market response to that. I mean, there wasn't really anything in the budget that particularly troubled markets. I suppose the big one in terms of tax is that they've, in terms of the threshold by which you pay income tax, as an example, the rate at which you start paying the higher rate of tax, which is £50,000, that is going to remain in place for several more years, which in a sense is a tax hike, because obviously wages come up, salaries go up, and the higher you go, the more tax you pay. So a mixed bag, really, that the Chancellor has released today. I don't know whether you have an opinion on this sort of thing on your side of the Atlantic. Certainly, markets seem to have given it thumbs up-ish.
Yeah, I would say it just from a technical response, you do see the pound trading higher here today. As you mentioned, some tax changes, some increases there. What's interesting, too, is as you kind of alluded to it just before we jump on the podcast, it seems like a lot of the stuff that came out was largely expected. And of course, the leak doesn't help as well, but seems like it was somewhat in line with what, you know, politically aligns with the leadership there.
One thing I should add is that the predictions in terms of inflation, they are higher than was expected, which might be one of the reasons why sterling is up today.
I did notice also projections for debt to GDP to rise is still in there. And that's been kind of from a global, you know, bonds market perspective, part of the reason why most developed Western nations are seeing rising yields across the basis, because again, these rising spending between governments, et cetera. So very interesting to see. Again, pound has been under pressure in recent months against the dollar specifically, rebounding a little bit here today, strongest it's been at least for the last few weeks, going back to October. We'll see how traders kind of take it from here. But the downtrend in the last few months, we'll see if that can be broken off this.
What about where you are, Nick? I know we had some unemployment figures earlier, and they were slightly better than expected.
That's right. We had unemployment claims come out this morning. They were slightly lower than anticipated, which of course, less unemployment claims is perceived as a positive thing. This is, of course, reiterating from our last conversation. We had some cooler than expected producer price index inflation numbers, but also retail sales numbers coming in a little bit soft. Took a look at interest rate probabilities for today, specifically for the December 10th meeting, just before we jumped on the podcast, mostly unchanged, sitting around an 83% chance that we are going to see a Fed ease rate cut in December, that upcoming December 10th meeting. And just reminder to the listeners, we will not get another non-farm payroll number before then. And that's kind of been all the rave in regards to Fed commentary, is just how weak is the jobs market. So it is an interesting time, but there's been a significant shift in Fed president's commentary on this. We've really seen the pendulum swing from a little bit more hawkish concerns about inflation to, you know, jobs market data being of concern and really the bigger of two issues to focus on. I think also it's just worth mentioning that many Fed officials have also reiterated that they think current policy is at a restrictive stance. And so if they see jobs market weakness coming and a restrictive current policy, they kind of are insinuating that they think there is room to move the interest rate lower. Now, how far lower? That's the question, right? Some officials are saying, hey, we're very close to that neutral rate. Others are saying we're well away from that neutral rate. I think another thing that we can kind of preview for our continued ongoing saga on this conversation, Johnny, is next year, we're going to get some leadership changes in the Federal Reserve. And we know that President Trump gets to choose the next Fed official. Some recent breaking news has been that rumor has it that he has already made up his mind on who it is likely to be. So I've got some interesting stats to also share with listeners in regards to this about the next Fed chair. In no way are we encouraging gambling on this podcast. However, gambling websites can actually be excellent for gauging sentiment around a particular issue. In this case, I'm looking at Polymarket, and I'm looking at who will Trump nominate as Fed chair. Again, not advocating for gambling on this, but looking at what people are betting on is very interesting, because people tend to, betting markets tend to be pretty smart. We talk about this during election cycles, but now with this Polymarket kind of thing taking over, it's for everything. So anyways, Trump, who will Trump nominate as Fed chair? Kevin Hassett has the lead at 54% odds of him being the selected one. The next most likely candidate is Christopher Waller at 22%. So at least the betting market seems to be sniffing out that Kevin Hassett is the preferred selected official, with a recent spike up in probabilities on that in just recent days, probably from something Trump said.
And if Mr. Hassett did get the nod, did get the job, what does that actually mean in terms of his views?
Great question. I did some research on this yesterday, just asking AI, just game changer, by the way, for investors, is to use AI to ask your questions to it. But I was discussing a little bit with AI about what this could mean. And essentially, he is a very... he's an ally of the Trump administration, which should come as no surprise. Of course, it's Trump's pick. He's going to pick someone he wants. And he's significantly been critical of the Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, and multiple, Waller as well has been much more on the dovish side. Kevin Hassett is on the dovish side. They want lower interest rates. And I was reading that, there could be a substantially stronger move lower in interest rates if we get somebody in the position that is very much a dove and willing to do kind of the preferred Trump's bidding, if you will, when it comes to interest rates. Kevin Hassett also seems to be very much on the Republican side of thinking, in the idea that we are going to, at the risk of rising inflation, we are going to get the economy going like crazy by cutting interest rates. So that is the philosophy. Again, critics would say that, you're taking a gamble by trying to get the economy to grow faster than inflation. The problem that you're playing with there is that if you cut interest rates and there is a hiccup in the economy, now you're left with troublesome inflation, sticky prices, a further K-shaped economy, and low growth. That's a very risky thing. However, the philosophy is you cut interest rates. If inflation rises a little bit, that is a byproduct of what they see as stronger growth that could potentially outpace the problems of inflation. It's an interesting philosophy, and it definitely seems like the administration's preferred direction.
Absolutely fascinating to hear that from you, Nick, ahead of this Thanksgiving break. Thank you so much for your thoughts today. Have a great couple of days, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.